Welcome to Let's Do It Radio, segment of Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. The topic of the evening is barter or buy. Let's make a deal. Today is May 24th, 2022, and I am Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Valco Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Please call into the show at 845-241-9985, and let's talk about it. Welcome to Let's Do a Radio, and we are going to talk about bartering or making a deal. So, is it better to barter or is it better to buy? I see we have a caller here, but I don't know who is on the line. Who is on the line with us today? Okay, we have a shy person. So, what is it? Bartering or buying? What I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she says that a lot of people don't pay for anything. All they do is they barter. So if you have something that I could use, I'll barter with you. And so the next time, if I have something that you can use, you come to me. So that's what we're going to talk about today, or we're going to talk about zombies. Yes, zombies, which I call the walking, living, half-breeding, dead, as far as technology. Because we walk around with our heads down, in our faces, in our phones, in technology, and we don't even know what our kids look like anymore, okay? All we know is the top of their head. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Do you know if they have freckles anymore? Do you know if they've lost their front teeth? No, we don't know because all we are is in our technology. We walk around so much, you know, we don't even hug each other anymore. We talk to each other from the next room on our phone. I'm texting you, Mom. I'm texting you, Dad. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, what do we need to do? We need to get out of there. We need to get out into the world again. We need to do games. We need to interact with our kids. We need to nurture them because we don't know what's going on. We don't know, you know, are you happy? Are you doing drugs? What are you doing? Are you doing anything? So, let me see here. I'm trying to see who else is calling in. Hold on just a second. Let me see. Okay. All right, so my caller who was going to be with us is not going to be able to join us. So we talk about anything on my show. We talk about everything, anything, nothing. We listen to each other breathe. No, we don't. I'm just kidding. So, you know, I am at St. Pete Beach today, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself being out in the atmosphere. And I met this gentleman. And he says, I've never been to St. Pete Beach. So we went to St. Pete Beach, and we put our feet in the water. Next thing we know, our knees are in the water. Next thing we know, the rest of our bodies in the water. And it felt so good to be out and about in the St. Pete Beach. The water was just magnificent, salty, but magnificent. And it was just nice that people were out and about, no masks. We were talking to each other. We made new friends. We met new people. It was just interesting. So, I mean, we need to do more of that. We need to garner new friendships, garner new relationships. I was at a 60th birthday party, and I met new friends. And it was wonderful. And the number, if you want to call in, is 845-241-9985. And so you can join in the conversation and be live. But, I mean, I was there for 3 hours and watched the sun set. It was beautiful. I mean, it was simply gorgeous. We took pictures. This other gentleman was able to what do you want to say? He took pictures of us as the sun was setting. It was just magnificent. We need to get out with our children. I had little kids, big kids, new kids on the block, old kids on the block. It was just wonderful. We don't do that anymore. And that's what we need to do, because we need to get back out into the country, back into the woods, go camping, take an RV, do stuff like that. Because we don't do that anymore. Well, we haven't because of COVID. But now we can. It's like, wow. Look at life. Look at nature. We need to go into the woods and just look at trees, look at the snails, look at frogs, look at the brooks. Because, you know, in a few years, all this stuff is going to be gone. You know, so we might as well take it in now. And, you know, a lot of people are gone that we don't get to see anymore. Grandparents, children, parents, sisters, brothers, because of COVID, because we would take advantage of everything. Now is the perfect time to just get out there and do and enjoy, take in life, because you don't know who's going to be gone tomorrow. You know, look at the shooting, the Texas shooting. I just got a text and it's like, 14 kids dead, one teacher. What is wrong with us today? Why are we taking lives? All lives matter. In the elementary school, I haven't read the whole article, but who is taking a gun into elementary school and shooting up kids? What is wrong? Who does that? I wanted to read the article, but you have to join the New York Times to read it. It's like, no, I'll figure out a way to see exactly, you know, who did what, where, when. I mean, did it in the shopping mall? What is going on? Please, somebody call me at 845-241-9985 and please tell me what is going on. Let me see here. We have one gentleman on the line, and I think we have, I don't know if it's long distance, but it ends in all 1111, so it could be somebody from out of the country calling in. Who is 1111 calling in? Can you tell me who you are? Are you just going to be a quiet person? And then we have another caller, 0598. You want to tell me who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, I'm Joshua. I'm calling from New York.
Oh, hey, Joshua. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. This is the gentleman who we were at St. Pete Beach with, so we're in the car. And that's why you hear the echo. So how did you enjoy St. Pete Beach?
I loved it. You know what? The water was literally turquoise. I haven't seen, you know, Florida water. I haven't seen blue water like that. And then the fact that it was so warm, you know, was just beautiful. Not just that, but also seeing, you know, the sunset over the water and seeing just how mellow and how calm the atmosphere was. It was beautiful.
Nice. It's let me see here. Yeah, we can do this.
Put this on speaker. There we go. I'm speaking now. So did you enjoy St. Pete Beach?
Absolutely.
It was wonderful. It was so beautiful. The sunset was gorgeous. Just being out there amongst people, you know, not having any cares, just walking on the beach. It was just mind-blowing. It was beautiful, the colors. And it was so funny because when we were taking pictures, we had the rain in the background. You had this beautiful white cloud, looked like, what do you call it, a pillowy cotton ball. And you go around and you pan around and you have the sun rays just coming out of the sky. It was just the most beautiful
heaven.
Oh, gosh, it was just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So you all call in 845-241-9985, and we started talking about bartering. Do you ever barter for anything, Josh?
Personally, no.
No?
Mm-mm.
You just buy everything?
More or less, I buy and I, you know, try to keep things within financial means so I don't have to, you know, depend on others.
Okay. So, because the lady I was talking to, she was unable to call in because her connection is chipped. She says the Jews do it all the time. They do handshakes, you know. So, say for instance, you need maybe some wood or something. You know, you shake your hand, and next thing you know, they may need something from you. So they never ever exchange money, and that's how they keep money in their community because they don't exchange money. They exchange services. And can you imagine what we would do if we could do that? But no, we can't do that because we, as a people, we always have to have money, or we don't do handshakes. We just do money. Which is a shame, you know, because we could have so much more in our community if we would just, you know, not be the crab in the barrel. You know, that mentality as far as, you know, oh, I got to be more better than you. I got to be the billionaire. I got to be the millionaire. I got to be the one who has all the money. Why? Why can't we all just, you know, do services? Okay, you do hair. Okay, I do dress. Okay, you having a wedding. Why can't you say, okay, I'll do a dress for you if you do something for me. Flowers, you know, and our community, if we would just...
I also think the beauty in that is allowing everyone to reach their full potential and allowing everyone to work with their gifts and their talents.
Right.
Because if, let's say this person is an electrician and this person is a plumber, and these are the things that, you know, people need on a daily basis or people need in their community.
Right.
Imagine if in exchange for you plumber, I do your electricity work for you.
Correct.
And then not only is it an exchange of services, but it's talent, because it's talent to do these things. The person who cuts your hair is not the same person who unclogs the toilet.
No.
And you need them both.
You're right. Exactly. I mean, or someone who works on a roof, somebody who paints, someone who does landscape, you know, because I'm getting ready to move into a place and it's like, okay, I need some landscape. I need somebody to paint. I need to do all these things, you know, and it'd be nice. Oh, Miss Inez, I can do this, you know, and then you make me an outfit. Oh, perfect. Or two outfits or three outfits or whatever. But no, we don't do that. You know, it's always about the almighty dollar.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses. And after a while, some of us aren't going to have any money. Some money is going to be all, we call a la carte, you know. Who's going to have money anymore? Everything's in a jar. Pennies are in jars anymore. People are looking for quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies. Because where are they? Underneath the mattress. They're in the glove compartment. They're in the cushions of cushions of the couch. You know, it's crazy, but it's like, wow, why can't we just do services? I mean, the Amish people do it.
They do.
Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a cow, I need milk. We milk the cow. God put it on earth, milk the cow. But no, we got to go and get the beef. We got to go to the store and pay money for.
And kill the cow.
You know, and then it's, you know, why do we do that? Why? It's crazy. So if you have anything to comment on, call us at 845-241-9985, and let's talk about, is it better to barter or buy? Let's make a deal. You know, let's shake hands. Let's do something. But as I was talking earlier about, you know, being a zombie, because we just walk around in the world, you know, with our heads down. You know, we don't smile at each other anymore. We don't look at each other in the eye anymore. We don't do these things. You know, why? You know, why are we so caught up in technology? If we just put stuff down and just look at each other, we would be so much happier. No, God is trying to tell us something. He's taking all the people who we love away because we don't, what is the word I'm trying to think of? We don't love them anymore. We don't nourish them. We don't appreciate them anymore. Because we take people for granted. Why do we take people for granted? I have no idea.
It's wicked.
It is. It's a wicked world we're living in. You know, and some of the things you had mentioned earlier, you know, is like, you know, what people, you know, try to do. They try to take your soul. they try to take advantage of you. You know, you talk about the story that you told me when we were in the body about the two girls.
I experienced, you know, when I was in school, I experienced, you know, a betrayal by two friends when I went to a park.
Mm-hmm.
And going to the park with them, they had actually robbed me of my possessions and had left me in the park. And I was actually forced to, like, run from them in fear of my own life.
What?
And have to, you know, rely, go into the parking lot and ask a stranger for help and ask a stranger for a ride and to get a ride to a hotel. And these were people who I put my trust in, and these were people who I saw as my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And to experience such a wicked betrayal has been devastating. It's like, it makes you feel like you don't really need friends.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel like you don't need people. It makes you feel like you're better off alone.
Okay.
But then it also kind of forces you to internalize a lot.
Okay.
So I internalized a lot of, I guess, the hatred that she felt towards me.
Mm-hmm.
I internalized the fact that it happened. I saw myself as deserving of it. I saw myself as weak, and I saw myself as stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I spent a lot of time beating myself up. I spent a lot of time, you know, in a very dark mental place that I honestly don't think I would be in had I not experienced them. And, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about judgment. I spent a lot of time thinking about what karma is. But the main thing I want to know is who raised her, number one. The number one thing I want to know is who gave birth to her.
Wow.
And the person who gave birth to her, Can she handle losing her? I want to know if that girl who did what she did to me is ready to lose her family.
Why you say that? You just wanted...
No, because when people do stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
it tends to come back at them.
Okay.
And I've learned that sometimes
karma
is a boomerang. And sometimes when it doesn't hit you, it hits someone close to you.
Mm-hmm. And then you weep for them and it's like, what happened?
Why me? What's going on? So when I say her family, I'm saying what you did to someone else
uh-huh.
is able to happen to you.
Okay.
I have a family, you have a family. I have goals, you have goals. Mm-hmm. I have dreams. Who are you to come and set fire to mine while still wanting yours to be watered? That's fucked up.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's messed up.
And she took your computer and she took your suit. What else did she take?
She stole a laptop from me as well as clothes that I had.
Mm-hmm. And you were out there anybody. She could have, what is it called, human trafficking. So you don't even know what she had
in
mind.
That's just scary.
But there was two girls, right?
Two girls.
About the other one? Do you even?
The other one, I didn't know her at first. I met her through her.
Okay. Okay.
And they'd be nice in your face, smiling, how are you,
mm-hmm.
give you a hug, talk about this, talk about that.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm sick to my stomach, yo. I'm sick to my stomach.
Because of what she did. And you write poetry as well, right?
And I write poetry, and I just felt as if, like, I'm just not mean anymore.
That's wrong. That is so wrong. On so many levels.
It's extremely wrong. It makes me, I can't talk about it, but.
Okay. We don't have to talk about it no more. But, I mean, she just, you know, just flat out just did you totally
disgusting.
Wrong. I mean, as far as you don't even know what she had in mind.
I don't know what her intentions were. I don't know how far it could have went.
Right.
Like this is a person who really, like, words can't describe it. It never entered into my imagination. It never entered into my heart
mm-hmm.
to do stuff like that.
To treat you like that.
To just, and then so casually, like I'm somebody's fucking child. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm,
like, even if I wasn't somebody's child, like, I'm still a human being. Like,
right, right.
Like, what did you do? Like, I'm still a human being, and you acted like what you did was okay. And to this fucking, and to this day, you continue to act like what you did was okay. And
she has no remorse. You haven't heard
no
from
remorse.
Her.
Never heard from her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Living life like everything is fine and dandy. Living life like you just didn't hurt somebody, and you just get to go on and like everything is peaches and cream. Mm. Mm.
Mm.
Tell me where it's okay. Tell me where it's okay. Where's the justice for me?
Right, right.
Where's my peace of mind? Where's my healing? I have to go through life forcing my smile. Sometimes I could be in a place like the beach, and then the next thing I know, I'm just standing there,
mm-hmm.
staring.
And you did a few times.
Just staring at something because I'm lost in my own thoughts, and like it has nothing to do with the people I'm around. I just be
and thinking about
thinking
things.
About shit. Not always that, but just thinking about things. And it's like it happens to me a lot, like. Walking down the street. Next thing I know, I'm just staring at a tree, just deep in thought.
And then you also said that you had a dream about her?
Yeah, I don't want to
or
talk
nightmare.
About that.
Okay. I don't have to talk about that. But, I mean, people are out there are just devils. Really devils. I mean, you know, thank goodness you had enough to run away from them. But it's like, well, dang. You know, it's sad that people are out there like that because you never know. You know, you don't know what's going to happen to her. You know, because what she did to you. And it's like, but karma is a bugbear. And so what she did to you is going to happen worse. I mean, she may get up there in society or in life and have all this, and then all of a sudden it's all taken away from her. Her best friend could be taken away from her if she has a best friend.
Whoever she loves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just wrong on all kind of levels, you know, all kind of levels. So you did right, and you just have to keep a prayerful mind and, you know, God's hands on you. You know, he kept his hands on you because we, you know, we're strong. Like I said, we just met, last week? And, I mean, we jive just fine. But there are some people who are just quote unquote evil.
And they pretend to be good people. They pretend to be victims. And that's the part that bothers me. It bothers me when they're so young and evil.
Uh-huh.
It bothers me when they play the victim and evil.
Uh-huh.
It bothers me when they act like they don't know what they're doing.
And they know exactly what they're doing.
And they know exactly what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
It bothers me when they act like it's normal.
Uh-huh.
It bothers me when. You know, when people go forward and it's like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I just graduated, I just got a job, I just moved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how did you get it? Tell the truth. Like,
mm-hmm.
just effing tell the truth.
Right.
Because
right.
if you told the truth, what will people think of you?
Right, right.
Like, you're so willing to destroy me, you're so willing to put all this on me, but what about you?
Right.
Like I want her to
experience...
I'm on call. I gotta be calm. But you know, it's like reap what you sow.
Right.
You reap what you sow.
And it's gonna come to her. It'll eventually come to her.
That's
and
what
every,
that's what everyone's been saying. Everyone been like, oh, it's gonna come. Be strong. But every time I think about it, or every time I and it's a punishment when I check that I can't help it sometimes.
To yourself.
To myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always like, did she get it yet? Did it come after her? Did God get her yet? And it's like, nah, she good.
It'll come and you won't even know it. You know, it'll come and you won't even know it. But I mean, you're a very interesting person because you just turned 24.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just, like, taken on the world. I mean, I met him and he's been... Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you and your journeys as far as you are just, as I say, God takes care of fools and babies. If I was a man, I would be in your issues because you just take things and you just go. Do you not? You just
mm-hmm.
go.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you do that?
I do it because I believe that if I don't take the opportunity, mm-hmm. opportunity might not be there again.
Okay.
I believe that you know, a lot of opportunities in life boil down to two choices.
Okay.
You can either do it alone or mm-hmm. you cannot do it at all.
Okay. Okay.
You know, there's too many stories, myself included,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, people starting these projects, these business ideas or whatever,
mm-hmm.
either with the wrong people or the wrong support.
Okay.
Or they make these shifting plans stuff with the wrong people, with the wrong support, when in reality, you are strong enough to do it on your own. Sometimes, like, no, speaking from college,
mm-hmm.
you know, college made me feel like you need people. It may, you know, it's always like, these are your peers, these are your colleagues. You can network with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if all four of us take the Uber, we could split it by four. If all
right.
four of us go to the Airbnb, we could split it by four.
Mm-hmm.
If all four of us go to the hotel, we could split it, making it seem like there's all these possible ways for connections.
Right.
And there is, in a way, but then that's also ways to trap you. That's also ways to get you dependent on people. That's also ways for you to get sucked into the crowd. That's also for ways for you to lose your individuality. And so, like, while you've seen everyone as a friend, or while you've seen everything as an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
or while you thinking everything is a potential whatever, the enemy is looking at you like, I'm going to get you some way. I'm going to send that person into you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send that. And you think, like, that might be an opportunity because all that good is not gold.
Right,
so
right.
the enemy presents that to you or presents someone like that. And like, you're like, that's my friend. Or like, oh, you know, she has some sad story. You know, she's a good person. Something like that. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, no, crocodile tears.
Huh.
That's what I'm realizing. I even wrote a little poem. Like, they crying them sad, salty tears, them crocodile tears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Crying them, don't crocodile tears. Don't go crying them crocodile tears.
Because mm-hmm.
you're going to be crying them real tears. Them real salty tears.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go crying them crocodile tears.
Mm-mm.
Wrote a whole poem on that.
But you've been somewhere everywhere. Where has your life taken? You said you've been to so many countries.
So I've been to 13 countries.
By yourself?
By myself. 13 countries in my life, about 10 by myself.
Okay. And those journeys, I mean, you want to travel all over the world, I know. Then we talked about you want to go to Hawaii. Have you been to Alaska yet?
I have not.
Okay, so where has your journeys taken you, and what have your experiences been?
My journeys have taken me to Asia.
Okay.
I had the experience of being a Black American doing study abroad in Asia. I thought that was big.
Mm-hmm.
I thought being Black in China was huge.
Okay.
I felt like I enjoyed being Black in another country. Rather than being like, oh my God, they racist, oh my God, whatever, prejudice. I'm like, fuck that. Like, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, forget that. Like, you know, it's dope. There's people, they look at you, they like your hair, they think being from New York is the best thing ever. One time I was in Greece, and this
mm-hmm.
guy I met, he never left the country before,
uh-huh.
but he was putting up his hand sign that I'm from the Bronx, just because he met me. And
wow.
I'm like, do y'all not understand how much of a privilege it is to go to a foreign country and then be someone's example of that place?
Yeah.
Like, imagine you're the only New Yorker that someone in China met, and now for the rest of their life, you're what they think of New York.
New York, yeah.
Like, so when they say New York, they're like, they're thinking of me. Like, that's a privilege, like, or that's the only Black person that they ever interacted with. Like, yeah, I think that's a bad thing. Like, I've met people who think that's a bad thing.
But it's not.
And I don't see it that way.
Because you may be the type of person who leaves a good impression on folks, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay,
you're
not so bad after all. It's like, what's wrong? I mean, you just like me, people just, I don't know why they love me, but it's like this little girl, 2 years old, she was watching at the party. You remember little Ruby?
Mm-hmm.
She was just watching me and watching me and watching me. And I got her a book. It was, I don't even know the name of the book I just got for her, because she was just, you know, she's a foster child at the moment, but she's going to be adopted. But you have to be aware, of who's looking at you and what you do, because you don't know who may try and emulate you, or you don't know who is on the outside looking in, because it's like, man, just to be near somebody like that, just to be around somebody like that, just to have somebody in that presence, you could be that main person. Like, you know, I know not all quote-unquote black people are, you know, hoods and, you know, ignorant and blah, 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 so on and so forth because of the example that you set to them. So you have to just be proud of who you are and what example you gave that person in Greece, Turkey, wherever you went, because, and even from New York, because some people said New Yorkers are just rude and they just this. No, they're not. You know, they're just the same as everybody else. They could be the same as everybody else, but it's like, it's all in perspective. And so if you go around and say, okay, my mama taught me this way, my daddy taught me this way, and that's the way I'm going to be, because I don't want people to, I don't want to leave a nasty taste in somebody's mouth. I want to leave a good impression. So, you know, even when you can't, when we met, you know, you had this big old smile, and you're a Taurus just like I am. So, you know, we just clicked just like bing, bing. And so, because we know how our spirits are, and we're just kindred spirits. And so that is good that you left that impression on that person. But when they get to America, it's like, okay, I'm going to look for Joshua, because
they're going to look for me and other people and not find it.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. That's a big thing that I've experienced in my life, is people, you know, being so nice, being so friendly, being so open, something that people get used to, something that people expect.
Right.
And I think that's one of the lessons that God taught me in the encounters with the girls, is that people like that, they don't come across something like that twice.
Right, right.
They don't meet a person like that twice. And then my professors and my colleagues, you don't meet genuine people. You don't meet kind-hearted people. You don't meet intelligent, world-traveling people like that who are willing to embrace you and show you things and not, you know. So when you come across that stuff, and then I see that even in my brothers too, like they look for that in other people. Like they'd be like, oh yeah, you remind me of Josh. Oh yeah, like you remind me of someone that I met.
Right.
And that is, and what God told me is that's the devil. That's mimicry. Because they're gonna sit down here and expect someone to be like you, and then they're gonna meet someone like her.
See, and they you know, and they're gonna be kind and everything. Next thing you know, they're gonna be taken advantage of. And as I told you before, next thing you know, human trafficking, taking the organs out of their bodies and stuff. And you know, it's like it's sad because people are so open. Because like I was saying to you, I wish I was a man sometimes, but even men get.
Taken advantage of too, and that's a huge problem that no one talks about.
Right.
People think that, you know, women in many instances have it easy because they get to be a victim. They get to play a sad story. Like people actually believe that, but men get victimized by women. Some of these women are very wicked, and they know that their femininity is a tool, and they weaponize femininity.
Yeah.
Men can't do that because then it's toxic masculinity. Then you're an abuser.
Exactly. And as we talked on my show the other day, as just get here, you know, being a single dad and trying to, you know, have a place for your children. But when you don't have a home and you're living on the streets, no, you're not going to have no place for your children. You won't have anywhere to take them. You don't have any Disneyland. You don't have any Dave and Buster's. You don't have any Six Flags because the courts won't allow you because you don't have any address. You're living on the streets. Well, this initiative with Wally Vaughn is just get here. If you could just get here, they have, what did I tell you, Airbnbs that you could take your children, and then they'll set up like a play date for you and your children so that you can, all you have to do is just get here, and it's going to be all over the world and all over the United States and different places, because single dads get the butt end of so much. They want their kids just as much
as the mother.
But the women, they have the children as pawns, you know, and they don't want the men to be happy. because the women are not happy.
A man's life is very sacrifice-based.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Men are workers. Men are builders. Mm-hmm. Men use their hands. Everything that a man does
mm-hmm.
is more or less physical. And what they do is sacrifice-based. Like, men still uphold families to this day.
Right.
Women get a lot of credit for it, but men do uphold families. There are men who pay bills. There are men who are the foundation of their family. There are children who still say daddy. It's not extinct.
Right. No, it's not. And children want to see their dads. You know, well, how come dad's not in my life? Well, this, you know, then she tells a lie. Well, how come dad's not, you know, here? Is he going to pick me up? No, because he doesn't have anywhere to take you. Well, this just gets you. Yeah, it's sad. And it's like, you know, why? It's like, I know, you know, marriages don't last and things happen, but come on, ladies.
And then what people are doing is they're planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So then next thing,
mm-hmm.
next thing you know, when they see dad, they're mad at dad because mom's mad at dad.
Right, right. And it shouldn't be like that. The children should form their own opinions. You know, they may be young, but it's like, you know, because when I divorced my first husband, you know, my daughter, her stomach would hurt all the time. You know, she thought she was the reason why that we weren't together. I says, no, baby, it's not you at all. For years, her stomach would hurt, and she was always in the counselor's office because her stomach would hurt. And, but, you know, she got to see her dad and everything. And now her dad, fourth marriage.
Grief, anxiety, depression,
you know,
it lives in your body.
Yes, it does.
And it has physical symptoms.
Yes. Yes, it does. And it's like, baby, I don't know what else to tell you. It's not you. You're okay. You didn't do anything. And I would never, ever, ever keep his child away from her. Now he hardly even sees her. He hardly even communicates with her. So it's not because of me. And she formed her own opinion because, you know, he wouldn't call her. You know, he has a grandson he hardly ever sees. He hardly ever communicates with, and it's like, okay. And his only grandson, but it's like, you know, and then he plays with the grandson's, well, he's supposed to be getting me this, it doesn't happen. So, you know, let the child form their own opinion about their father. I can understand if they were abusive, you know, they don't want to see their dad, but when they love their children and they want to be around their children, let them be around their children. Let them have happy times. Give them some time. Give them some space. And understand if they were beating their children and, you know, molesting them. But no, not all dads are like that. Not all dads are abusive. There are dads who love their children and want to be around their children. So let them do this. So on the Just Get Here initiative, which you can contact Wally Vaughn, through Facebook and through Instagram if you want to, and reach out to him and see, you know, exactly what's going on. But men, you know, stay strong. That's all. Just stay strong and hang in there, because there are going to be ways for you to see your children, even if you don't have a place.
And sometimes being strong is hard because men break.
Yeah.
And then that was so unhelpful to me when people would be like, be happy or
mm-hmm.
or cheer up or God is doing this or God's doing that. Like, mm-hmm. it would make me insane because, like, y'all putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
You know, that be strong stuff is so toxic because y'all expecting people to – it's like you're being strong, but, like, you're trembling and you're cracking and you're about to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, someone is like – it's like you're beating a slave and you're like – be strong. You got this. Be strong. Be strong. You
still
got this.
Still getting beat down.
But telling someone how are you telling someone to be strong while you beating their ass? Why are you beating them up?
Right. And, you know, men, you know, they don't want other men sometimes to see them cry. But it's okay. It's okay if you're not strong, because in having men groups, you know, there's nothing wrong with having men groups, because men need to, you know, feel what other men are feeling. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that at all.
A lot of depression, a lot of suicide, a lot of suicidality.
Yes. Yes. And it doesn't need to be.
A lot of fragility, a lot of feeling like
hurt.
A lot of feeling
hurt
and let down, abuse. And then also societal expectations, like your support. Where's your car? Where's your house? Where's your girl? Where's your, you know?
Mm-hmm. Where's your money?
Where's your job? If a man don't got money, what's a man to win this world? What's a broke man in this world? You already see what it's like to be a broke man.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it like to be a man struggling with mental illness? What's it like to be a black man struggling with mental illness?
Right, right. It's hard. It's very hard because they just feel like, oh, you know, we have this bromance. No, men are human too. Women are human too. But men don't get a chance to show it. So what do? They take to the bottle. Then we have these generational curses.
They
that another thing that we were talking about. They go drinking. They go, they become suicidal. Like you said, they do things that they harm themselves. They harm other people. You know, they shoot up stuff. It's
aggression,
like,
male aggression.
Yeah,
male
yeah.
aggression is a real thing.
It is. And it's, oh, man.
But male aggression is equivalent to, like, a raging bull. It's like, an out-of-control male is worse than an out-of-control female. Because an out-of-control male, it's not sudden.
Mm-hmm.
For men, it's rarely sudden. For men, it's like an accumulation of things. For men, it's a long time of being strong. It's a long time of people telling you to man up. It's a long time of people, like, you hear that from childhood. I've been hearing that man up stuff. Like, I'll be 8 years old hearing someone telling me to man up.
Right.
I could, like your youth, like, the ability to be sensitive, the ability to be vulnerable, the ability to cry
mm-hmm.
is raw from you. And then when stuff like traumatic experiences happen to you, those same people expecting you, like, yo, bro, you good?
Mm-hmm.
Like, bro, what, like, are you asking, yo, bro, you good to someone that's hanging on their thread?
Right, right. And it's like...
And they will lie to you as well and tell you that they're doing good.
Mm-hmm. Bruh, I know you. I've known you for a long time. Something ain't right here. You know, we could talk about it. Still, you're good. You know, but they don't want to go to mental, they don't want to go to mental health because they think they're weak. But no. Men need an outlet too, so I'm glad that they have gyms that they can use a punching bag.
The mental health system is not. I'm not a fan of it. The mental health system doesn't really
understand.
It's broken. It doesn't really understand black men.
Mm-hmm.
The mental health system is quick to
down
to diagnose
mm-hmm.
black men, misdiagnose
mm-hmm.
black men, medicate
mm-hmm.
black men,
medicate, and then opioids.
Opioids, not
mm-hmm.
opioids,
mm-hmm.
antipsychotics,
right.
other things which. Can really mess with your brain chemistry, can really mess with your body chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It can really change you. So a lot of black men who they don't want to seek help because seeking help can sometimes be worse. Have you ever heard about, you know, someone calling 911 and getting shot? You ever heard someone calling the police and getting killed? Like that's how I view the mental health system sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You call it for help. Let's say you're having a suicidal
right.
episode
uh-huh.
and next thing you know, you end up in a
mental.
In a mental facility with
mm-hmm.
with this on your record, like that helped you. Like
it
what
doesn't.
It doesn't help you because mm-hmm. it labeled you, it stigmatized you, it medicated you,
mm-hmm.
it changed you, and you went for help. And what was the help?
It wasn't really help.
It wasn't really help.
They just medicated you, and then here you are, a zombie.
A zombie.
A walking zombie.
And they think that you're doing better, because
yeah.
the only thing that because what it does is that it sedates you.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't change. They didn't make you better. They didn't heal you. They sedated you so that like it ceases to function,
mm-hmm.
not so that like it changes and improves. It ceases.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
do become a zombie, and then that's what the medical college, that's what the medical system considers to be, you know, healed, considers to be better. So
mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, to be a black man struggling with mental health, like. I that's the demographic. That's where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
My heart is with the young black male demographic because ain't nobody got their heart for them. Nobody. And I be feeling like even other black people don't got their heart for them. That's just how I feel.
And you went to college, and what was your major?
Public health. So I'm speaking from a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've interned. I've been inside of health departments. I've been inside. I'm like, I walk inside a health department. I'm asking
mm-hmm.
myself these questions like, who
wow.
like who really heals here? Like, where's the art? Where's the nature? Like, you know, is it, you can't possibly just tell me it's medication only and that's
mm-hmm.
it. Like, it's not coloring. It's not walks in nature. It's not swimming. It's not fruits and vegetables. Like, you telling me you're just giving people pills and that's it? Like,
there's no talking, no.
And then, like, you know, they'll have like a therapist. You know, the patients will have like a therapist.
Uh huh.
But then, like,
really help?
But no. And it's not enough.
Mm.
It's not enough for me to sit here in front of you for 30 minutes, talk to you about how I'm feeling.
Mm.
While probably, because sometimes while you're speaking about how you're feeling, it triggers
that feeling,
therefore making you feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you leave, and then what happens?
You feel worse. You feel the same.
Mm.
Sometimes. You know, speaking to people makes you feel worse.
Mm.
Sometimes speaking to people really makes me feel worse.
Mm.
And I'd be feeling it. Like, when I was in school and stuff as a freshman,
uh-huh.
I was believing in it. Like, I was eating up this system. Like, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, like, you can get help. You can get treatment. Or you can go to school, get a job. You can
mm-hmm.
do this. You can do that. Just eating up the system until I realized that there's barriers and there's loopholes and there's trap doors that keep people stuck. There's institutes that do not help people. Like, I don't feel like my college helps people. I don't feel like my college that I graduated to helps students. I don't feel like students academics are at top of its priority. No. I feel like the top priority at my school is research. And research is money and endowment,
mm-hmm.
not education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, from the school system to and I've also seen inside correctional facilities,
uh-huh.
and I've seen inside, I'm like,
they really get correct.
I'm like, who is getting help here?
Right.
You're putting people in a cage with no sunlight, no pictures on the wall, nothing to stimulate the brain, like, nothing to watch, nothing for entertainment, no sexual intercourse, like, come on.
Nothing.
Literally nothing. And you're expecting people to get better. Like, that's the word, like, the word better,
mm-hmm.
like, certain words start triggering me, like, when people is like, you good, like, that's almost a trigger, because the you good is like, it's not, what do you want me to tell you? Because if I tell you I'm not good, what are you going to do about it?
What can you do about it?
What can you do about it?
Mm. This is deep, y'all. If you have anything to say, call us at 845-241-9985. We still have a call on the line that is very quiet, so I don't know if they just, after listening, if they will have anything they want to say. And it comes up as 1111. So if you have anything you'd like to say, go ahead and talk to us. But we have a young man that I had met last week. His name is Joshua S. That's what I'm going to say, Joshua S. But, you know, this has been interesting because, you know, we don't get a chance to really delve into the mental health society like he's been giving us. You know, he went to school and he doesn't even like how things are being handled. So can you imagine, you know, people being taking your money, you know, an hour and a half, whatever, and get what you pay them for, what, $90, $100 and some, $150 for what? What do you say? You hold the pen or pencil in your phone and says, how do you feel today? You know, what have you done to change?
Control your breathing.
Yeah,
take a deep breath. Like,
take a deep breath for what? So I can blow in your face some hot air? You know, like a fire-breathing dragon? Because what am I going to take a deep breath for? What's it going to do for me? Not a doggone thing. And I'm just so glad, because mental health is an issue, but how are we working on that issue? How are we really working on the issue? You know, it reminds me of that movie with
All I can say is that there's no help out there. That's all I can. From the bottom of my heart,
mm-hmm.
if y'all listening, stay away from those mental health places, please.
Hmm.
Please.
And you
yeah, it's like
school for it.
Like, this might sound counterintuitive, but you're better off suffering in silence. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I said that, but you're better off suffering in silence than seeking help. Because the help that's available is not help.
And it's not really available.
So please, keep your faith. Go into the ocean. Let salt water. Let sunshine. Let fruits and vegetables. Because
take your shoes off
and let your feet touch the ground. Let those electrolytes in the ground go through your body.
Mm.
You know, that's where you'll find your heal. You'll find your healing in music. You'll find it in painting.
Mm.
You know, start drawing, watch cartoons, listen to gospel music.
Mm.
You know,
jazz, something.
To jazz. Start tap dancing. Start moving
meditating.
Your feet. start meditating, mm-hmm. start stomping. Mm-hmm. There's power in stomping.
Mm-hmm. I've getting
known, you're getting it out, and not just getting it out, you're trampling on the enemy's head. You got to, when you kill a snake, you kill its head.
Mm-hmm.
You're stomping on the head of the snake. You're stomping on the head of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Start
mm-hmm.
stomping, start clapping, like clap his head. Bash his head open.
Mm.
Get your strength back.
Or even going to a boxing place and just punching, right?
Start punching. Let it out because, bro, everything that they offer into you is going in.
And not coming out.
And not coming out.
How do you feel today? What have you done in the week? It's nice.
Tell us, like, you know, about your childhood or something, or, like, something so that they can try to weave together and piece together whatever narrative they want to create to fit their DSM-5 category criteria for mental
mm-hmm.
illness. Because that's what they do. It's a category. Like, what you tell somebody
uh-huh.
is going off a list of criteria. So you're not speaking to a person that's genuinely hearing you. You're speaking to someone that's trying to see how well what you're saying matches what is in front of them.
In front of them. Because I know my first husband and I, we went to counseling. And he was asleep most of the time because he just got off of work or whatever. So, like you say, it I don't think it worked. And then we went to another one, and, you know, I opened up a little bit more because I knew her. And I just told her how I felt. I just told her, it's like, you know, I don't love him anymore. I think that was a release from me. You know, it hurt him because I said he's, quote-unquote, spineless. He has no spine. He's like a jellyfish. It hurt him, so he had to continue to go to therapy. But he's a mama's boy. And so, you know, I don't know if he knows how to, quote-unquote, I'm sorry to say this, be a man.
Most men don't.
You know.
As a male,
mm-hmm.
as a male, 24, technically a man,
mm-hmm.
most men don't know how to be men. There's
no
examples, or there's few examples.
Mm-hmm.
These are not men. These are males.
Okay. There's a difference, y'all. There's a difference. That's what you were born. You were born a male. But how to be a man?
It's completely different.
It's completely different because I'm a woman, but I can understand the point that Joshua was talking about, because if you don't have any real role models to be a man,
no stability, no...
nothing. Like my father, he was a man's man. He was a gentleman, and so many people looked up to him. When he passed away, and all the kind words that were said about him, because people wanted to emulate him. He was a deacon of the church, and it was so funny because there's one guy who was a deacon, and he moved to Detroit area. And he said, oh, Deacon Brown didn't do it like that. And his wife was a minister. And she says, honey, you can't say that. You can't, you know, but once you are taught by a real man, and then you see these other people, it's like, oh, no, I'd rather go listen to Deacon Brown any day,
literally,
anytime.
Literally.
Because he was the person who, my dad was quiet. He didn't even raise his voice against us. We almost, you know, you almost like, when E.F. Hutton speaks, you know, everyone listens. That was the type of person my father was. And even at church, people just listened to him because he was wise. He was kind. He was real. He lived by the Bible. He was just that man's man. And he was the type of person that people would follow in his footsteps, want to be like him because of who he was. And that back in the day, being a man, you know, these days, you don't know what you are. You don't know if you're this or that. It's like, I'm confused. I'm tormented because I don't know who I am. Is that not true?
That's true.
You know, you don't know who you are. You don't identify with yourself anymore. You don't know how to identify with yourself because you don't know who you are to begin with. You know, am I like my dad? Am I like my mom? Am I like my uncle? Am I like my sister? Am I like, you know, who am I? You know, sometimes you have to go away, get away to find yourself. And even then it's like, man, is it too late to find myself? Do I need to just step away, walk away, go to another country to find myself? Do I need to go to Africa and, you know, find myself and get with my people to say, you know, these are my people. This is who I am. You know, what does a man need to do to actually find himself? Answer me that question, and you get all the money in the world. You know, and women are the same way, though. You know, some women can't find themselves because they're so confused and so contorted and because they have all these things and all these emotions, and, you know, they're okay one moment, next thing you know they're crying, next thing you know they're sobbing, next thing you know they're happy, like they have the happy pill. I've never done anything. I never took hormone replacement therapy. I just let stuff just go naturally.
It happens to men, too, I'm telling
you. Yeah, and people don't realize that men go through hormonal changes. You know, it's like, what is wrong with me? Why am I crying? Why am I feeling this way? Because you have got to let what's in you out. And if you have to write about it, write it down. Do a diary. Do a journal. And sometimes that helps. Seeing what's in print, what you did the day before, is like, oh, Lord Jesus, don't let me do that no more. No. And so a lot of people journal now because they want to know what they're doing. And as old as we get, we forget. And so it's like, okay, on January 21st and 2022, what did I do? I have no idea. I can go back and see. Okay, I ate this, and this is what it made me feel like. But my stomach got upset, so okay, I don't eat that anymore. Or, you know, I met with Joe down the street, and we had a good time. We had a couple of beers, and, man, we talked. You know, and sometimes you may need to do that. Find a drinking buddy, drink some water, drink whatever. But just get it out, you know. You need to have to do it on a recording so that you can hear yourself. Get it out. But don't keep it in, because then you get those suicidal thoughts, and then the next thing you know, where's Joshua? Oh, he committed suicide. Say, what? We were just laughing yesterday. What happened? Well, evidently something didn't go right, because he's not here with us today. So, you know, you got to do these things. You know? Talk to me.
I'm just saying, that's just how real it is.
You know? It is, you know? And people say, why are you so happy? Because I just don't let a lot of things bother me anymore. You know, when we were younger, it's like, oh, I got to be like, you know, I got to be the best, and I got to be cute, and I got to have all this taboo. I let the grays come out, the wisdom highlights, as they say, and I wear makeup when I want to. You know, I turned 64 May 12th. And, hey, people don't think I'm 64, but I'm 64. And it's like, wow, you don't look 64. I don't let a lot of things bother me. They may, but it's like, okay, what can I do about it? Not a doggone thing. Not a doggone thing. So you might as well just, why are you so happy? Because I don't let things bother me. What really can I do about anything? I can only worry about myself. That's all I can do. I can't worry about Jimmy Joe down the street. I can't worry about Sally Sue on the corner. I can only take care of me, because this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is only I can control me. I can cry when I want to. I can go to the bathroom when I want to. I can put my hair up or let my hair down. I can't take care of nobody else but me. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Right?
I don't really know what I can do.
You probably have to find out what you're good at. You do, write poetry. Do you paint? You don't paint? You write poetry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you may write a poem that can fulfill somebody's needs. It's like, man.
That's what I already do. That's why I said I don't know what
right.
to do, because I felt like I already did the most I can do. Like, there's a saying,
mm-hmm.
when you've done all that you can do, what do you do? All you can do is stand. But then,
mm-hmm.
but then no, like, I felt like I've tried everything. Like, I journal, I write. You know, that hasn't been helpful. I'm sorry.
Oh, God?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They say they said that God would never leave you nor forsake you. I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. My life experiences have brought me further away from God, not closer to Him.
Really?
Yes, really.
That's interesting.
It brought me further. I didn't feel like it made my faith in Him deeper.
Okay.
I don't feel like it made my love in Him deeper. I felt like I seen Him as an enabler of abuse. I feel like I see God as someone who sits from where he's at and looks down this wicked earth and allows it all to happen. That's the God's honest truth of how I feel. I feel like he's an enabler of Satan. I feel like he sits there and he just allows it to happen. His grace is sufficient. Nothing happens without God's will. Nothing happens outside of God's timing. And just rehearsing those scriptures and hearing about it
mm-hmm.
has just been so agonizing, because like where was my help? Where was God? Where what was he doing? I can't look at life throughout other people, because I'm the one that's bleeding. I don't care about who's bleeding around me anymore, because when I was bleeding in front of other people kept walking like it was fine.
They walked on you and over you.
Walked on me, over me, and through me. And when I'm over here asking God for help, begging, praying, crying,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just silence, it's crickets, his grace is sufficient. Oh, just keep praying and fast, we'll do all that. I'm over here fasting, I'm over here praying, I'm over
mm-hmm.
here listening to warfare prayers, I'm over here going to church, I'm over here getting baptized and just feeling like the warfare is increasing, feeling like it's just getting worse and so it's getting worse, like to the point where I hate God more than I hate the devil.
Oh, that's powerful.
I hate him more than I hate the devil. Sorry to say that, but that's just the truth.
Interesting.
I try to love God. I try to believe in him. But
do you have anybody that you believe in that keeps you?
Oh, no, I believe in God.
Okay.
Just because I believe in him don't mean I like him.
Okay.
I believe in the devil too, but I don't like him either.
Okay. Yeah, we have our own opinions. Nothing wrong with it.
That's the thing. Also, you don't believe in God. What do you believe? You don't think? Trust me. The people who don't like God the most are the ones who know he's the realest.
Mm-hmm.
The devil. You think the devil think God is fake?
Mm-mm.
But nah. But my dislike from God. My dislike to God isn't. It doesn't come from a place of hatred. It comes from a place of like feeling forsaken, feeling like I've just been abandoned. So it's like let me just figure this out on my own. What am I waiting for you for? Like, what am I praying to you for? Let me just figure this out, because if I was doing what I was supposed to do, going
mm-hmm.
to school, going for work, and that happened to me, like I could have been out here selling drugs. I could have been out here doing anything. Like, I didn't have to go to school to go into the middle of a park and almost die. Like, I could have been shooting out. I could have been doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a student. I was in the library. I was in my dorm. Like, I was a good student. My GPA graduating was a 3.7. I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Going through all this stuff is like, it's supposed to strengthen your faith in God. It's supposed to. It's a test. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
yo, stop giving these sick tests. People play sick games. You get sick responses. You testing people to see how far they can go, and you're gonna sit out here and see people break down. I'm not Job. Don't give me Job tests. Don't sit out here and expect me to throw off my cloak and start worshiping you after you done killed somebody I love. Like, that's insanity. I view that as insanity, because that's not a normal response to get the oh God. No, it didn't come natural.
Mm.
It didn't come natural. I felt like I needed to run away from him. And I feel like, and because my heart's not wicked, and because I don't follow the ways of death, I can't run to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one to run to. I just be running, I like running into a circle, run to a wall, banging my head against the wall. Like, there's no one to turn to. I refuse. I don't turn to man for my problems, for help, and I don't turn to God. I don't turn to anyone.
Okay. Because I know we talked about, you know, when your father passed. You know, you still haven't grieved totally.
Grieved that at all.
And so is that one of the reasons as well?
No.
Okay.
Because even when people are alive, like,
mm-hmm.
they prepare you for when they're passing.
Okay.
So, like, the people are, like, my father prepared me for his passing. Like, he will always say stuff like, I'm not going to be here around, I'm not going to be here, or, like, this and that. And it would piss me off, because I would be like, speak life. Like, I'm like the kind of person, I'm a very life joyful person. For me to be like this is because a certain situation happened. I'd be like, Dad, stop smoking like that. Speak life over yourself. Just because the doctor said that, like, mm-hmm. you know, be happy. Go for, I was talking about that. Go for a walk, drink some water, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I genuinely care. But then you over here like, nah, I'm not going to be here. That don't matter. I ain't doing that. Like, I'm like, no, just fuck you. Just go die.
Because,
like, what are you doing to live? You know, anxiety, depression, anger, all that stuff makes it bothers me. Because it wasn't always there. And it doesn't have to be there. Like, why are you here? Like really? Like, what purpose are you serving racing my heart?
Mm.
What purpose are you serving trying to put me in the grave? Like, what purpose are you serving sitting on the couch all day? Like, what, like what's the purpose? Like, what's there to love?
Mm.
Like, you said, like, when you said, well, I don't love no more. Like, I don't love this no more. Like, I used to love this. I don't love, like, I talk about the fruit trees and the flowers. Like, I don't love this shit no more. I used to sit down here and love these palm trees and love these flowers. Like, I can't stand looking at them.
Mm.
I don't want to look at them. I don't want to look at God. I don't want to look at these trees. Like, I don't want to be on this earth. I don't mean that from a place of suicide. I mean that from a place of take a real look at the reality of this place, how they treat the land, how they treat the people,
mm-hmm.
what the reality of life is like, what the school system is like, what the health system is like. Like, it's not good. It takes a certain amount of strength to find happiness in this place. It's a required effort to be happy here because the natural way of life in this place is depression. That's the, like, how we was in the ocean, we was naturally drifting.
Mm-hmm.
You were naturally drifting to depression in this world. You were naturally drift there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't gotta do nothing. You would just be there.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's interesting. Very, very interesting. I never heard it put like that before.
Oh yeah, when I see people when I see the kind of stuff I say,
mm-hmm.
it leaves people speechless. If people don't expect that kind of stuff. You should. Oh good, don't even get me started on pastors. Don't even get me started on the pastors. They can't help either. Stay away from the churches too. Lord knows these pastors ain't built for this. They built for that Psalms 23 Jehovah Jireh. They ain't built for this warfare. They built for the earthly stuff. They built for the earthly. They built for the Instagram feel good Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The love your neighbors. Or they're not built for the demonic warfare. They're not built for the witchcraft. They're not built for. They don't know about that. All they know is pray, pay your tithes, pay your offering.
Mm-hmm.
But once you go in there talking about how these demons are after me, they don't know how to deal with demons. Trust me.
Yeah.
These pastors don't know how to deal with demons. And these demons are real. And these demons are out here.
Mm-hmm.
And they know for a fact that not the pastors, not the school system, not the prison system, and not the mental health system is going to check them. Because why? Because Satan got this place running.
Mm.
He got it running.
Y'all hear that?
Satan got this place running. And because he got this place running, those demons are gonna stay in the darkness that they're in. They don't want that light shine on them. They want their dirty work. They know this. They know this system is garbage. They know those medications are garbage. They know that therapy is garbage. They know it's garbage.
Nobody.
And it's not helping a soul. It ain't helping a soul. And they know that. They know that to the bank. Even God, even when I be having these moments, like, God still speaks and he's like, yeah, they know that. That's the point. That, like, you're over here getting mad about it, and you're not realizing that that's the point. Like, the point is for you to be mad. The point is for it to be like that. The point is for it to be like that. You're getting mad at the system for being upset without realizing that the system is accomplishing what it was intended to accomplish.
Okay.
This system is not broken. It's doing exactly what it was intended to do. Oppress, steal, kill, destroy, lie, and damn the soul, and damn the soul. That's all this is about, is damning the soul. If the devil can't kill you, he can bring you. He can plant seeds of suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can try to send someone to mess you up. He can do all that stuff. But at this point, I'm starting to realize that wait. So if he can't kill you,
mm-hmm.
but he sends someone else to kill you, there needs to be a term for that. That needs to be considered some type of murder. Because if the devil can't hurt you, but he's going to put someone in your life to do that, he needs to be held responsible for what he did, 100%. I believe that firmly. I think I believe the devil should be completely held liable for what he does, what he encourages, and what he induces these demons to do. Because he's the one who, trust me, sits back and laughs.
At everything
he's done. And everywhere I went in the world, I saw it. So I'm like, it's not just me. And it's not just New York. So, like, I'm living in this cocoon, and then I go outside. I'm like, yo, wait, how many people did he mess up?
Everybody.
I'm like, how many people is like? So I asked God one question. I said, God, point in the direction of the next person that the devil messed up. And this is what he started doing. Everybody. And he's like, it's not just you. So then what helps me is because I don't have a lot of support around me is that I would use the internet and I would look up blogs and forums and I would, like, Cura and stuff and start reading about other people's experiences. And that was more helpful to me because
you weren't the only one.
I wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can kind of not live through them, but identify.
I can identify. I can read a comment. I can read a thread. I can read a post, and it's like, oh my goodness! Like, I will Google the something specific. Like, wow, I didn't know someone else did that.
So, have you ever reached out to anybody?
No. Because that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
knowing that they're
just
out there.
Just knowing that they're out there is enough.
Good enough.
It's enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
You don't feel alone, even though you may be.
Because
by yourself, but you're not alone in the world.
Exactly,
because
the people around me don't understand it. But
mm-hmm.
the fact that someone in Utah understands is comforting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more comforted by a stranger on YouTube in Nebraska than I am by than some of my family members.
Or a minister.
Or a minister.
Who you can identify with, or you should be taking your issue to and can't because of, like,
I had a pastor tell me to leave the church. He literally told me to walk out the church. He asked me if I was going to obey. I said, who are you? So you're not going to obey? Are you God? Get out.
Okay. We have a few people who have joined us. Let me see here. 813. The last three, let me see if he's going to come up. 3366, welcome. And we have Sergeant Parks as well, welcome. 3366, let us know who you are and where you're calling from.
Oh, I'm just on here listening. I'm just listening, taking it all
okay,
in.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, for listening. And Sergeant Parks. 1128, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How's everybody?
Good. We're good. Let me see here.
Well, I would like to make a comment.
So have you been listening to the whole thing?
I didn't hear the whole thing. I've been on about 10 minutes, but I just want to tell the brother that, you know, hang in there. The worst thing you can do is give up. And there are people and stuff that feel the same way that you feel. You keep on researching and you're going to find them. You do have a purpose. Tonight is your purpose. You're bringing it to us. Most of us already know that. And the devil gonna do what he wanna do if you let him do it. You gotta take away his power and stuff. Most of the preachers and stuff don't really wanna get on a one-on-one with somebody and stuff to understand and that's research what is going on because they wanna be in the biblical sense. Okay? So don't give up.
Uh-huh.
You have something to offer. You have something to offer. A lot of us don't even, we just look at it and say, oh, my God, hey, man, not to do, no, I ain't going to do nothing, you know. So at least you're out there trying to do something and stuff. Seek those people
Thank
out that feel the same you. Way you feel.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying, you know. When, yeah, and that's what I was saying, Sergeant Price. You know, I was wondering if he had ever reached out to anybody, like he was saying, in Utah or wherever, you know,
check out the people that you get to know in that circle. Know where they've been and what they've done, you know,
uh-huh.
before you unload on them. Let them unload first. Let them say, you know, make their introduction where I've been and stuff, because people will try to put you in a box. You don't belong in no box, brother. You sound like you got more sense than most of us. You know, just practice what you preach. Hang in there.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Sergeant Bryce. Thank you for calling in. Cause,
thank you.
You know, yeah, because, I mean, he does make a lot of sense, you know. Just because we don't understand where he's coming from doesn't mean it doesn't make sense and that it's not true. If, like, say, if other people experience what he's experienced, that's what I was saying. You
I
know,
understand.
That's why
I understand
him.
Where he's coming from. I understand, Aline, uh-huh. where he's coming from. I run into other brothers
uh-huh.
like that. I understand exactly where he's coming from, you know.
Uh-huh.
That button on him was put on him for a reason. He needs to just seek out that reason and keep preaching what he's preaching, but just make sure that you don't go to those people. Most of those people want to be in the biblical sense because they probably told you, oh, all you got to do is put it on the Lord. You know, just put it on the Lord and make it walk away from it and stuff. Well, that's impossible to do now that you already have it and stuff. So just be strong, brother. Be strong. The challenge is yours. You know.
And it is a challenge. And we were. I don't know how long you've been listening to the whole show, but we've been talking about some of everything, and that's what we do. You know, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your chest, let's talk about it. So other people, you know, could experience what you're experiencing or may even call in and say, bruh, I know where you're calling from. I know where you're coming from. So you know me and what I do. I just let people talk and then, you know, let it go because you don't know what's on their chest. You don't know what could stir up some fire in somebody else and say, okay, they call in, because we could go all over the United States and all over the world, actually. So people in other countries could, you know, experience the same thing as you are. But I don't know what to say, but somebody else who calls in, like Sergeant Parks, may know what to say to you, you know. So I'm just thankful that Sergeant Parks called in. And I'm grateful for the other gentleman calling in from Florida as well with the 3366 extension. But it's like you never know what people are going through until you hear their story. And that's what I love about your daughter, Sergeant Price, because she likes to have – she's a publisher, author, and so on and so forth. And so she wants to hear stories like this. Because they're fascinating, and people don't, just because you don't fit in the box that I fit in doesn't mean you're not in the box, and you're not in the box with somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And so just
Absolutely.
Because your ideas, you know, your ideas aren't my ideas, I'm not going to, you know, down you. I'm not going to Debbie Downer you because you don't see eye to eye. That's just another way of looking at things. And so just because... And, I mean, it's really interesting. It's like he still, would you say, you don't like God. You hate God, right? You hate God, but you still, I would say, do you still talk to him?
Of course.
You see, but he still talks to him, you know. So he still has God within him, but yet he just, things that he's done, they don't seem to get answered. Is that correct?
Yes.
I just feel like, where is he?
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, where is he in all this? It's like, okay, because, I mean, we're so used to, like, I like daisies, I like puppies, I want peace and all this kind of stuff. But not everybody's built like that, you know. And that's why I like having...
How does that philosophy help when you start dealing with real warfare?
Right.
It doesn't help because that kind of preaching, I think, is harmful when you keep preaching this lily Christian version of Christianity, because then, you know, when these entities and these demons come after you, you're hitting them with all this quote unquote white light that you're thinking they're over here taking as a joke.
Uh-huh.
What these entities, they're coming after that peace. They're coming after that joy. They're coming after the God in you.
Mm-hmm.
So you over here thinking that's your cushion, but no, that's the very thing that they're attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're attacking that, and people like me, like, we start to fall because we wasn't prepared for that. The pastors were telling us, love your neighbor. The pastors were telling us, keep praying and stuff like that. They didn't tell us that demons were in the background over here trying to steal our souls.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell us that the devil was in the background plotting. They didn't tell us that. So when those demons came after them, what did they do? Love your neighbor.
Am I supposed to believe in love the demon because he's my neighbor?
Right.
You know?
Those are the real questions I'd be asking.
You know what I'm saying?
Brother, you just hang in there, okay? You see, because don't think that there are not other people and stuff that feel the same way you feel. Once you find those people, the original ones that you're looking for, because you have a lot of people that are just plain funny. They don't like the thing
uh-huh.
said the way it is. And they're used to going around
right.
making sure that the world is lily. Everything is just peach and cream. No, the world is not. The only way you're going to be able to fight that is the way you're doing, you know.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing? Now, please don't let that destroy your senses of reality with everybody. Okay, don't put yourself in a cocoon. Get yourself out of that cocoon and stuff. Keep voicing your opinion, but be able to listen and then gain some allies. You need allies. Everybody needs allies. Well, what's been going on for the last 2 years? We have a pandemic. Now we got a war. And then everybody wants us to take this stuff that, oh, it's just nature. It's just Mother Nature. It's the devil. Okay? And it's all about money. These people don't care nothing about nothing else but money. They're throwing their own kids to the fire. They're killing their own time, okay? They're destroying the world. They are actually and literally destroying the world behind some kind of belief that they're going to make all the money in the world, and when they get ready to die, okay, take it with them. It's absolutely sick. So you stay solid doing what you're doing and stuff, okay? It's a form of preaching.
Yes, sir.
Because that's right. Them preachers ain't going to come out and then say, oh, yeah, right, you're absolutely right. You're praying this because if you listen to what you're saying from the biblical part of them saying that, they're saying that, oh, you need to come into church and you need to turn around. You need to turn that thought around and then go out and just love everybody. You know? You for the love of people and stuff and taking stuff away from you, okay? I would say understand that, okay? And just know who the enemy is. That's what we need to do. We need to be preaching that to our young people and stuff, who the enemy is, and then how to fight the enemy. In this sense, what's going on today, you take the money from them, and then they just plain old people. If you take the power from the plain old people, okay, what can they do?
Literally.
They can't do nothing. You know.
Not a thing.
And we 44 million black people in America, 1% of this nation's total wealth, the greatest nation that has ever been assembled in the whole universe. 44 million black people, and we only got 1%. Why we got? Because we don't have intangible things share it between us. We don't go out and invest in ourselves and stuff, in our kids. Let it come in with this critical race theory just to throw people away from what the hell is going on. Okay? Yeah, you can't do that. They try to tell their kids, don't listen to them, because that ain't true. I don't know one white kid 9 years old that don't have a cell phone. All their kids got cell phones. They can go back and rehearse their whole thing and stuff. So, brother, you just stay out there. You be true to what you're doing and stuff. Okay? Be true to what you're doing.
That's what I'm talking about. Just be true. Because, you know, we need to hear different, you know, sides of different stories, because not everything is for everybody, but it's nice to know that there are other people who have thoughts and what their thoughts are. And I love it. I love it.
We need you in this fight, brother. We need you in this fight. Okay? I'm just making it plain. It's plain and simple. We need you in this fight. So you gonna give up and roll over and stuff, then you could be telling somebody and other kids and stuff and teaching them what's going on.
Uh-huh.
So stay in the fight.
Thank you.
That's right. You know, and keep talking about it, because that'll make other people think. It's like, oh, I didn't think of it or look at it in that aspect. You know, you don't think that, you know, and like you say, oh, we have peace and puppy dogs and flowers. And it's like, no, life is not like that. Take off those rose-colored glasses and take out them contacts and, you know, and look at life like, you know, from both sides now, as the song says, because there's a lot that's going on. And then, you know, with the kid, with the shooting today, you heard about that, right, Sergeant Park?
No, I didn't. I've been out of my yard all day long.
In Texas, in the elementary, there was 14 children that were killed and one teacher in Texas elementary.
Well, if that ain't Satan, I don't know what is.
Hello.
If that ain't the devil, I don't know what it is. You got these idiots and stuff talking about, we don't need no gun control. You know, what they're waiting on is they're waiting on a race war. That's why they're hoarding guns, okay? The next thing they're going to be doing is they want to get the really big guns, and all of them want to go in and get these big old warships, okay, and put themselves on warships and stuff, all right? And going to be claiming and stuff that, we're going to be shooting in California and Arizona and everywhere else and stuff, and we don't have to get off the ship, okay?
That's what they're preparing for.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
They're preparing for the Antichrist is coming.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's on his way. And all this is preparing
he's
for the mark
here.
Of the beast and the Antichrist.
He's on the earth. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
If you look at the news every day, you'll see him. Okay, he's the one that's preaching and stuff, separation. He's the one on that preaching and stuff that, oh, we're trying to replace black folk. People of color trying to replace white folk. That's the one. He's the devil. Trying to talk about us replacing them. Okay, when they came to...
And he's masquerading as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they stole the country to somebody who's already here, and the first thing they did was try to exterminate those people that was here. This is happening all over the world. Pay attention. You know, people in France are talking about, oh, we got too many people of color here. We need to be able to get rid of them. And then you got young people, young Christians going out bombing and killing them and poisoning them. That's what's happening.
Keep your eye on the prize. Right. And Joshua said, "What? Go ahead and say what you just said about masquerading."
Oh, Satan's on the earth right now, but he's masquerading as an angel of light.
So he's, whoever these politicians, whoever these officials are, whoever is out here trying to make themselves seem like they're separate from God, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. These are the beast years.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in the beast years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always say that. So God's coming soon.
These are the last days. And I've known that for years. I feel like I was born and then the book of Revelation started.
Hmm. He's only 24.
I felt like I was born into the book of Revelation.
Because
ever since I was a child, I was coming from school one time in elementary school, and I was walking across the schoolyard, and coming from the basement of the school building was smoke. And for some reason, I couldn't understand why there was just smoke coming from the school basement. I went home, I think I was fifth grade, I opened up the Bible, and I read the verse in Revelations about the angel having the keys to the bottomless pit and to the abyss. And since then, I knew that God was trying to show me something about hell, something about judgment, about the last days. But I didn't understand what it fully was. And now that I'm older, I realize what that vision was, what that premonition was. Because I'm just walking, just eating smoke. And I don't know if it was smoke that I was really seeing or like a vision of a smoke. But I was a child.
Interesting. Wow. It's been very interesting, you all. Very interesting. 3366, do you have anything you'd like to say? You just still listening? Last 4-3-3-6-6. Okay, thank you. But no, it's been a very interesting evening. We started supposed to be talking about bartering and buying and bartering and let's make a deal, but it's like, okay, we talked about that a little bit, but no, my show, Miss Inez said, let's talk about it. It could be any topic. I mean, we can start at one topic and go to a whole different off-the-wall thing. So, hey, I just appreciate everybody calling in and talking and saying what they have to say. And Joshua and I, we met this past week, and it was a reason we met. And now I know why.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. I know why, because he's in town from New York. And I said, he wanted to go to St. Pete Beach. So I said, okay, come on. You know, I'll take you. And now, you know, he's on the show tonight. So evidently, this was meant for the World Wide Web to hear, you know, this young man's story and what he's gone through and what he's going through and what he sees. Because, you know, people, unless they hear it from somebody, they don't believe it. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. No, that's nothing. It's real, y'all. It's real. Don't think that it's not. Don't think that it's not.
Listen, brother. Just don't end up being the devil yourself. You understand that?
Uh-huh.
Don't what?
Say it again, brother Park.
Don't end up being the devil yourself.
Don't end up being with the devil.
Don't end up in bed with the devil. Okay.
That ain't
happening. Walk in the light, bro. You know, walk in the light. Be proud of who you are. You know, be proud of who you are. You are relevant.
Very much so.
So don't let nobody tell you that you're not.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. That's Sergeant Parks right there. Keeping it real. That he has a segment. Keeping it real with Sergeant Parks.
The enemy
is every other Thursday.
Got stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
Hey, we can deal with anything if we come with an open mind. We can deal with anything.
Right.
You know.
Uh-huh.
We listen to people talk and we don't always agree with them, but always say one thing. If somebody has an opinion about what I said, thank you. I thank you for your comment. Okay. I don't have to agree with what you're saying and stuff to be able to sit down with you and know that we have more in common than we have than we don't.
Uncommon.
Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
So what we can do is we can sit down and we can talk about it. The next thing is, what are we going to do about it? Let's come up with something that we can agree on to do about it, and then let's get other people to feel the way we feel, and let's do something about it. Don't go hide
right.
rock at somebody's window and then hide your hand. Okay, if you throw a rock at your window, I'm going to stand out there and let people know that, yeah, I threw that rock at my window. Okay? Be for real.
Yeah?
Be for real.
That's right. Be for reals, as they say. Now, this has been a good evening, a very good evening. It's been unique, for sure. Been very unique for sure. So I just appreciate everybody calling in. Anybody else like to say anything? Brother from the 3366, just still listening, sir? Okay. All right. Let me see if my phone is still has. We're in the car doing this show, so.
Outside of Chick-fil-A
in St. Pete. So hopefully this will last, but I'll probably be closing out soon because my computer is getting low. But I just appreciate each and every one of y'all calling in. It's been interesting. It's been very, very, very interesting evening. It's like some of these things, as I say, you can't make up. You can't make up all this stuff. So I want to thank each and every one of you for calling. You have any last words, Sergeant Parks?
Hey, no. It's just, it's beautiful to be able to, Miss Inez, you know, meet people from all walks of life, especially my own people. And God knows we have the worst relationships of any of God's creatures. Okay.
Yes, we do.
And I appreciate a young man coming on the show, okay, and expounding what his beliefs are and where he's been. Okay. We don't have it every day. And we need to embrace it and stuff. You know, so I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you, Miss Inez, because you, of course, is always keeping it real.
Along with you. Along with you. So thank you so much. So, man, it's been a good day. And I just appreciate Joshua, all the way from New York, Joshua S. And now he goes back to New York tomorrow, so I may take him around to another place, depending on the weather and what have you, so that he could spend his last day around me, around Tampa. So I just appreciate him, you know, taking the time out to be on the show, because we, you know, I said, hey, I got to get my radio show up. So. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Mr. Parks. And thank you, I think, my ride and die, Rhonda. She's out there as well. So I just appreciate her. The announcement, of course, to keep Let's Do Radio on the air, you can cash app to $ANAISEVALCOUR. Again, that's $ANA. ISEVALCOUR, so that we can keep the radio, Let's Do Radio on the air. And then we have on Thursday, the View of the Kingdom with the women from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. Sunday we have Pastor W.F. What's his name? Pastor, doggone it. Pastor out of Yakima. And he will be speaking to us in that 6, 7, 8, 9 Eastern a little bit later on. So that's good. And that's also Memorial Weekend. So, you know, if y'all want to hang out with me after you hear the fireworks, please do. And the 31st, as Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern, and also support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away from God album through iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, and all other music media. And let's keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, as I said before, through the Cash App. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, give me a call at Let's Do It Radio at gmail.com so we can talk about it. You can email me, and don't forget to share through Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and all your other social media platforms that you have. And you can also listen to the previous episodes on www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. So this is another a good one to listen to and to share with other people, because not everybody's beliefs are the same. So, you know, just because you believe in something, don't have to down somebody else for their beliefs. Again, thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening. And don't keep it to yourself, because we don't want nobody out there committing no suicide. So if you need to, email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and we'll just talk. I'll contact you so that you don't have to be out there by yourself. And if you got anything on your chest, let's get it out. Let's talk about it next Tuesday, 6 p.m. East, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And one thing I want you to do is be happy. I have been your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Alco Designs at www.anaisevalcour.com. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram under the same. So be happy in the skin you're in. And, oh, yeah, give away something free like a smile. And watch the value of the person who you gave that smile to appreciate. And if you're going to be anything, be kind. So just thank each and every one of you for joining us with a little applause. And then we're going to have our prayer, our normal prayer that we have, maybe, if it wants to act right, because, you know, stuff has not been acting right. So I guess we won't be having no prayer, no clapping today. Nope, nope, it's not going to act right. So won't have prayer either. So this is not acting right. But I want to thank each and every one of you. Be safe, stay safe, you know, stay in contact with each other, and keep your head up and look up to the sky. And just thank you again, Josh, for your story and for being with me this evening. And thank you again, Sergeant Parks, for keeping it real as you do and just encouraging Josh, because, hey, you know, he needs to hear not just from me but from other people that, you know, don't give up the fight, because, you know, you could be the one winning the fight. So thank you, thank you, thank you, as we bow out gracefully. Thank you. Good night. Have a good evening and stay safe.
Will I be able to get a copy of this or re-listen to it?
Mm-hmm. And see, now I'm not even sure if it's even going to act right. Hopefully I'm still logged in, trying to end the episode, but it doesn't even want
to. And I'd love to, like, go back and re-listen.
Mm-hmm. So, might just have to hang up. Hang up here. Yes. Because... Yeah. It's not ending, so I'm trying to hang up and it doesn't even want to hang up. So we are okay. Have a good night.